Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? We welcome you in to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. James Go here with you back on this beautiful Thursday. Joined alongside by the magical beard of fantasy, we do have Matt Franciscovich, the franchise in the building. What's going on?
Hello. Welcome.
Was that a British accent?
Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. Okay. I'm ready for week two. Let's go.
We have West Virginia's finest, the wide receiver prognosticator himself. We have Matt Harmon. What's going on?
Oh, man. I'm excited about today's podcast because our good friend who is unfortunately not on the show with us right now, Marcus Grant.
Too famous.
He's too famous to be on this pissant little podcast with us. But he said yesterday, he's like, man, I really forgot just how aggressive the week one, like, overreaction is.
Uh-huh.
So this is an important podcast. Like, we got to do good for our people here because we got to, you know, set them right or at least try to.
Beautiful. So talk about overreactions, man. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Twitter is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Overreactions are the best.
I know. You specialize in overreaction, but
I do.
As a measured,
James
level-headed
wrote
person.
An overreaction column this week.
I love it.
Kenny Golladay,
let's
I'll
go.
Have you know, is going to get 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns.
That's right.
James Cole.
I'll just cop to this. I haven't read it yet.
Oh, shocking. Shocking.
It was published on your day off in your
Yeah, exactly. And yesterday was really busy, so.
He can't get 8 more touchdowns in 15 games?
I know. I think that's fair.
It can happen.
Shocking.
We've got
fair.
The Whiskey from Wisconsin, Alex Gilhar. Wow. It's too early to be getting – I don't have coffee. I'm running late. I've been sitting in an hour of traffic. It's too early for this crap.
Rough life.
It's too early for this crap. We got the Wizkid from Wisconsin. What's up?
I guess, are you want an outpouring of sympathy from us in the podcast?
It's going to be okay, Co.
We've got fantasy to talk about, man.
We'll lift you up.
We do. We do indeed.
Get your act together, bro.
Get your mind right. Get your body right. All right. We got producer Chris in the building as well. What's going on?
Good morning, fellas.
How you doing, pal?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
Doing good.
I think we should just stick with Chargers Corner, by the way. I know you threw out several other names on the
Chargers
rundown
Corner
here.
Is
that sounds kind of
James is PC with PC?
Yes.
Yes. Haywire for Hayre. My goodness, I love it.
Come on.
Well, what does that even mean?
I know. I don't know.
We're about to get haywire with Hayre.
It's also good. I mean,
charged up.
You know what I mean?
Charged up with Chris is better.
I like that.
Sneaky like vanity move by producer Chris there, who's a very nice fellow. But you know,
yes.
He's like, I like the one with my name in it. That's very good.
Duh.
No, I mean, shoot, I would have done it too.
Absolutely.
I don't understand why this podcast isn't NFL Harmon Live yet, but we're working on it.
NFL Harmon Live.
That's ridiculous.
Wow. Oh, God. Wow.
Just saying.
Okay.
So it's smart move by Chris. That's all I'm saying.
Great show in front of us here today. We will. We're going to have producer Chris talk to us about the Chargers. We're working on the title. I don't know. Charged up with Chris. That's
working
title. That's okay. Haywire with Hayre. We're gonna throw out some names here. Maybe we'll throw it out to Facebook Live and our Twitter followers and see an appropriate name for this segment. But we'll also talk about deep sleepers / early week three pickups. What does this mean? Usually means probably a pretty good idea. If you can kind of look ahead to week three, if you see a matchup you like, go ahead and pick up that guy right now. But we'll talk about some of our favorite picks there.
I'm not going to lie to you. I haven't even looked ahead to Friday, much less week.
I know. I'm like, let's do week two.
Well, as a real professional, I just got a pretty good idea.
Okay, great. I have two names. I'll let you guys steal one.
I've got a name.
No,
okay.
I'll pull something out of
Lovely.
A hat.
Okay, out of a hat. This is great.
We're on
fantasy.
Facebook Live. I can't say what other expression I normally would have said.
Out of a hat.
A Packers hat.
A this Packers is, hat.
An oversized Packers hat at that. We will do EDG every damn game, covering every single game in week two, minus the Thursday games. But we start your show, as always, with your top headlines.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Whistles go woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
Watch the news. Because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife.
All right, we'll start in Arizona, sadly. Sad.
Oh, God.
David Johnson, wrist surgery, placed on IR, anticipated to miss anywhere between 8 to 12 weeks. Kerwin Williams was named the starter Andre Ellington is the backup and is expected to get passing down work. Newly re-signed running back, signed and cut and signed and cut and signed again. It's Chris Johnson. He's going to get some work as well. Also, Rando running back, 235-pound. Elijah Penny is there, and he's just, oh, man, he is just begging for a that-helps-no-one score. Just begging for one. It's going to be Kerwin Williams getting all the way down the five, and here comes Elijah Penny pounding it in for six.
Sounds like a mess that I want nothing to do with.
All right, franchise, break it down for me, man. I mean, here's
the thing.
I just did. Bruce Arians, I don't know. He seems to have a little bit of a warm spot in his heart for Kerwin Williams. He's talking him up a little bit. I don't know if it's just coach speak. But I don't, is there something to draw from that?
I don't know, man. I just think without David Johnson there, that offense in general is not going to be as productive. He was, what was he, like 50, more than 50% of that offense by himself last year,
right,
between him and Larry Fitzgerald. And I just don't think any one of these guys or all of them combined can equal what David Johnson did last year. He had 120 targets, 80 catches, 20 touchdowns from scrimmage. And if this is all going to be split up by four guys, good luck guessing who does what in which game. If there's two, like the two guys I would target are Kerwin Williams and Chris Johnson, just because he has so much experience. And 2015, he was kind of the only guy in the way there ahead of David Johnson in his rookie year, and he was productive till he got hurt. I don't know. Kerwin Williams, I think, has maxed out at two receptions in his career in any given season. So he's definitely not a pass catcher by any means. That's what Andre Ellington is there for. We
right.
know he has durability issues throughout his career because of his size. It's just a mess, man.
Anybody feel, I don't know, good about Andre Ellington or
no.
Kerwin?
Okay. No.
I think if you're in a PPR league, Ellington is worth the pickup. I mean, they experimented with moving him to wide receiver this offseason.
Fail.
For, like, odd day.
Well, yeah, I mean, but the point in that is, like, obviously it was not going to be a wide receiver, but I think that he's probably the pass-catching option in this backfield. So I think if you're in a deep PPR league, he's worth a flyer.
They were trying to transition him to wide receiver as well. I think that experiment either failed or didn't go that well. And
He and Williams are both certainly worth adding, but like it's not a case where I'm going to feel good about it because that is going to be an absolute mess of split touches. Williams is the best bet for like a flex play, like perhaps, but you're never going to feel good about it. I'd rather look elsewhere. That's why in my waiver wire thing, and I think we talked about this on Monday, like Buck Allen and Tariq Cohen were both better pickups than Williams.
Oh, for sure. 100%. Oh, for sure. 100%. Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, Tommy Rawls back practicing for Seattle. He could be in line to start possibly Sunday versus San Francisco. Again, Eddie Lacy played all of seven snaps in week one despite getting talked up by the coach there in Seattle. I don't know. What do we make of Tommy Rawls, again, back practicing? Sounds like he's good to go here for week two. Do you guys trust him against, again, a poor San Francisco defense?
I have trust issues with this backfield until we see Thomas Rawls come in, stay healthy, and take it over. Their offensive line woes are an issue. San Francisco has a pretty good front seven, too.
Offensive
they've got a lot of
line
they got a long,
terrible.
They got a couple long, really strong athletic guys on that defensive line, so it's good news that Rawls is practicing, but I'm going to wait and see before I put him into my lineup.
I think that's fair. I think there's two ways that this could go now with this backfield. I think Eddie Lacy is out of the picture. I don't think C.J. ProSize is in the mix to be the feature back. I think one of two ways this goes down is that Rawls comes in and takes this job right away with force and becomes their starting like 15 carries a week guy, which would be great. I mean, we want to know and we want to own the Seattle starting running back. That's an important position in fantasy football. But I think the other way that this could go is that Chris Carson becomes a big factor, and he becomes potentially the guy. I mean, it's not outrageous considering that we're talking about Thomas Rawls as the guy, and this is exactly what happened with him.
Right.
An unheralded guy comes in, shows well, plays well. That's the Seattle mantra, whoever's the best guy plays. And Chris Carson, I thought it was only six carries, but I thought he looked good.
Looked way better.
Yeah, I mean, and we get our next-gen stats research from the week, and only two running backs, and again, given it was six carries, but only two running backs who saw five or more carries averaged over 5 yards after a defender closed within 1 yard of them. Kareem Hunt was one, and Chris Carson was the other.
That sounds
all
like,
that.
That
all that came
good.
On that one play where Chris Carson had a hole, though.
Yeah, right. He had 30-yard
like,
run.
Which but is, I like just, that stat from Next Gen Stats, but that's the same thing as, like, he ran past one defender that was getting blocked, yeah, and then he picked up 30
totally,
yards.
Totally,
but very small sample size.
Of course, that's why I said it's a small sample size, but I think it's just notable that we're talking about a backfield that lacks options in terms of people that, like, can you make people miss? And I think Carson showed it, at least in that one run. And this just is building off what we saw in the preseason when
for sure.
He was doing that all the time.
This is the part of the podcast where Franchise and I high-five ourselves.
Chris Carson.
Chris Carson, brah.
Yeah.
From week one of the preseason. Remember you trucked that dude at the goal line?
Yeah, buddy.
That's when it all started.
I like it. And again, kind of going back to the reasoning behind Chris Carson for this particular offense is because their offensive line is so bad. They need a guy like Chris Carson to be able to generate yards for himself.
Yeah.
They thought maybe possibly that would be Eddie Lacy. That's just not the case. And I think Chris Carson now, I don't know, to me anyways, has shown a little bit more power and authority running downhill and to be able to generate even an extra yard in this offense, with this offensive line, I think is important for them to stay on track. All right, we'll stay with backup running back news here. Devontae Booker has been ruled out for week two, but is practicing. It's a pretty quick recovery, really, from his wrist injury. Just something to note, if you're waiting for that Jamal Charles shares to mature that you're kind of holding on to. I had Jamal Charles. I dropped Jamal Charles because of this news. And I just think it's just, even if something were to happen to C.J. Anderson, I don't know. I just don't feel that great about it. You know what I mean? I think it still would be a committee there.
I don't think it's that much of a committee. C.J. Anderson was pretty much the clear lead back.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I'm just saying if something were to happen.
Oh, if it happened to be a committee. Yeah. Okay, I follow you. Yeah.
Jacoby Brissett, Scott Tolzien split first-team reps in practice. The question, the lead-up question was any additional optimism in the Colts offense if it's Brissett?
It's going to be a no for me, dog.
Okay. I got you.
No.
Yeah. It's got to be better than Tolzien, though, right?
That's what I'm saying.
We've told ourselves this with numerous bad quarterbacking situations over years, and it hasn't gotten better. It's gotten worse in almost every one of them.
I know, but at least Brissett at least went out there and you know, let loose a 50-yard throw to Dante Moncrief. I mean, at least I think he's going to threaten defenses a little bit more. I'm talking like 0.05% improvement.
But that's not something we should really – invest in for fantasy and start.
I think he's a better athlete. He's more mobile. I mean, he could give a little bit of life to this offense. I think. I mean, okay.
I'm not going to start any Colts until Andrew Luck comes in.
All right,
that's fair.
The floor is just disastrous, and like you're just going to be upset with them in your lineup.
Yeah,
there's little to no upset.
What did T.Y. Hilton do? Anything?
He had like 4 for 50, maybe.
Oof, that's
wasn't good.
That's not great. That is not great. Danny Amendola did not practice Wednesday with a concussion. Questionable for Sunday. Obviously, they're without Julian Edelman as well. If he's not available, does it make you feel better about playing somebody like Chris Hogan or James White or Rex Burkhead or anybody in a Patriots uniform? I see you nodding your head, Alex. What's up?
Well, I know I had been writing about this in my matchups column, which will come out later today, and Harmon pegged Chris Hogan in his Next Gen Stats column, which just came out, but I think he's in a great spot in this game against
Chris Hogan is?
Yeah, especially if Amendola's out because Hogan played a bunch in the slot in week one, and that's where the Saints just got ripped apart by Adam Thielen. They just got like absolutely destroyed in the slot.
To be fair, 169 yards to slot receivers.
To be fair, they got ripped apart by everybody.
By everybody. But in particular, Adam Thielen was working out of that slot, getting deep, which we know Hogan can do. I think Hogan's going to be in a great spot. He saw like a couple targets, but I could really see his volume increasing as the Patriots have had 10 days to prepare now and adjust with the losses of Edelman and Amendola.
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm just going to say it'll be interesting to see after that Kansas City game. Tom Brady kind of said someone in this wide receiver core needs to step up in Julian Edelman's absence. It'll be interesting to see if Hogan is that guy. And if he is, I mean, that could be good for his outlook going forward, too.
Yeah, I mean, I expect this week two game to be a shootout between the Saints and Patriots. But I do think, like, the Patriots are in a weird spot in their wide receiver core right now because they have like their top three guys are essentially all vertical threats, and Cooks, Hogan, who I think can do a little bit more, and he is going to be the primary slot receiver, it looks like, and Philip Dorsett, who they like just acquired. I mean, those guys are all downfield threats. Brady's really not a great downfield passer at this point of his career. Like, Edelman was just such a great fit, and Amendola too, to a little bit of a lighter degree, but just being able to run those 8-yard slants and just pick up chunk yardage like that, they don't really have that player anymore. Unless, I mean, I guess it can, obviously can be Rob Gronkowski, but
you almost
just
wonder if they'll throw one of the running backs out there a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to say
Burkhead or Deion Lewis could probably operate somewhat in the slot.
When we talk about this game, I think we definitely need to talk about, obviously, the backfield, and I think that there's a clear winner there, but we'll save it for that game.
Ooh, oh, wow, what a teaser.
What a tease there.
Stick around.
Sex appeal, baby.
Every throw, every catch, every two-minute drill, every fourth and inches, if it's NFL football, and it happened, NFL Game Pass has got it. Get every live out-of-market preseason game. Why are you chuckling over there?
No
condensed
reason.
Games, replays, coaches film, and more. Kick off your free trial today, NFL.com/Game Pass.
Did it happen, James? Find out on Game Pass.
Oh, man. What? You're tripping me up too early here. This is good.
Yeah, and you don't have coffee either. That's
I don't. I have zero coffee right now. I'm
pretty loopy.
Oh, my God.
You're
I'm
unfocused.
So unbelievable. All right. This is the portion. Again, I'll throw it out to Facebook. We're trying to come up with a Chargers-themed segment for the podcast here for our producer. Chris.
Shouldn't we wait till we get to EDG and toss to him for this game?
We'll do it here.
Okay.
Do it live, baby.
Do it live.
All right.
Do it live.
So it's producer Chris. It's Chris Hayre. So originally this debuted what, on Monday, right? The Chargers corner. Chargers
Alex,
corner.
Alex threw it to me for Chargers corner for Monday Night Football.
That's, Chargers corner with Chris. Right. That's three C's.
Nope, that's a negative.
We can do something fun.
What?
I like the working
working
podcast
title?
Brainstorming session that's
going
what
we on, need to do.
On the podcast.
That's what we need to do.
I don't want to interrupt here, but apparently Facebook says there's no audio, just so you know that.
Well, somebody said it came back later.
Well, I've got some few people tweeting at
me. Lots of issues.
Jeez, falling apart. All right, so anyways, we need your help.
Actually, I don't know. It sounds like it's coming in.
We need a name for this, but.
Okay, so Chargers Corner, I don't know. I'm not.
Ah.
It's too blank.
That was the first name, first title on the script. All right, it's okay. Better than untitled Chris Hayre segment. All right, we called it Chargers Corner.
So I got Haywire with Hayre because it's Chris Hayre, is the last name there. I also came up with PC with PC. yeah, that's right. Predicting Chargers with producer Chris.
Hey, I like it.
That's kind of fun.
I like them all, that's
kind of fun.
Imagine if I worked for a fantasy irrelevant team, how this would be really, really tough sledding, you know?
I already feel like we're giving a little too much love to the Chargers. Like, what is this going to become, like, our team? I don't know about that.
All right, well, anyways, let's get to the
regardless.
Segment. Send us your suggestions for the name.
Yes, we'll take suggestions now, all right? Chargers play host to the Dolphins. Producer Chris, what should we expect to see from Phillip Rivers, Keenan Allen, Melvin Gordon, and the boys there in L.A.?
Well, I think starting with Keenan Allen, that was the most encouraging thing I saw.
Looked good.
10 targets.
He looked good.
He drew a 40-yard pass interference penalty, too, on Bradley Roby.
That's right.
So he had 5 for 35 and a touchdown. I think Travis Benjamin, he's not going to be fantasy relevant, but he's going to stretch the field for these guys. And I think a matchup.
And that's the role that he was supposed to play last year, but he was dinged up a little bit.
He was dinged up, and his speed has been on display all training camp and preseason. Mm-hmm. He had two big touchdowns in preseason and 38-yard touchdown from Phillip on week one. I think Tyrell Williams is a great play this week. He was targeted 7 times. The Dolphins don't have that second cornerback position figured out yet. It's either going to be Maxwell or Altron Werner. And you saw Keenan, or Phillip Rivers rather, go to Tyrell Williams 7 times in that Broncos game.
Yeah.
Hunter Henry was the real mystery to me, though. I don't know what happened.
Hunter Henry
That's
was
what I feel
disappeared.
Like 20,
23 hard. Snaps, not a single target.
Not
Hunter
one.
Henry.
No.
Zero targets.
They were trying to get the running game going early. And yeah. Melvin Gordon, 21 yards his first carry. After that, 17 carries for 33 yards.
I also feel like watching that game, I felt like they were going max protect. The Chargers were, because I think they were worried about the pass rush and basically just trying to keep Phillip Rivers upright, man. He took a lot of hits last year, and I think if they want to make hay in the AFC West and in the AFC in general, they got to keep him upright. I felt like they were trying to go max protect a little bit and really just exclusively go, if they were going to go, you know, throw out to whoever it's going to be their wide receivers and not their tight ends. I mean, Antonio Gates got a little bit of action late,
yeah.
But that was late. I mean, he didn't even see his first target until the second half as well.
And Rivers said after the game, he goes, I would have not predicted Hunter Henry getting zero catches, and I would not have predicted Austin Eckler getting two catches.
So
I'm thinking Hunter Henry is going to bounce back week two against the Dolphins.
Okay.
But I would start your receivers. You know, obviously you're starting Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
I think Tyrell Williams is a nice play this week,
good.
Wide receiver three.
There you go.
And then Melvin Gordon, see if he can get something going.
Yeah.
He absolutely. Got all the volume, though, and that was a tough defense. And it looked like they sold out to stop him, too, because they trust their corners to cover up. So.
Oh, yeah.
I think Melvin Gordon's in a great spot this week, too.
Isn't it crazy, too, though? Because Melvin Gordon seems to do well against Denver for whatever reason. Because even last year I think it was a Sunday night spot or was it a Thursday night spot?
Thursday.
It was a Thursday night spot, but everyone was predicting him to do nothing.
Yeah.
And he did well.
I think he had like 99 and a touch.
It's pretty good.
Something like that.
I thought he looked all right.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about early week three pickups / deep sleepers. And again, it's either one. If you don't, you know, again, if you guys don't have a week three person, that's fine. Just give me a deep sleeper pick you like for week two.
I found a hat, and I pulled out a guy for week three.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah.
Ready.
All right, let's go to Wiz then.
John Ross. He's practicing back with the Bengals. He'll probably make his debut tonight on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah.
But week three, they go to Lambeau to face the Packers.
Hello.
Where they'll probably get down a little bit. And we know that Packers secondary has some issues at times. Covering deep.
Yes.
So if you need a deep sleeper, grab John Ross now, Thursday night.
Buddy.
And then if the Bengals start chucking it all over the yard or that game turns into a shootout potentially, there you go. You got a piece of what could be a passing offense ready to bounce back after a disappointing week one.
Cincinnati plays tonight on Thursday here, but can I just throw it out to the room? What the hell happened to Andy Dalton?
He had some bad luck. Yeah. Like, everything that could have gone wrong in that game went wrong. He had two interceptions off of tip passes. His protection failed. He threw in a bad interception in the red zone. It was just his backfield gave him nothing. It was just a total apocalypse. Like, it wasn't a great spot for him to begin with because the Ravens are such a good defense, and on top of that, everything that went wrong did go wrong.
It was gross.
Yeah, and Andy is pretty used to whiffing it against. I mean, the Joe Goodberry common opponent stat is
that's true.
Gone. You know, the teams that he faces frequently, like his interdivision rivals, they know how to
get his
the
tendencies
best of
and yeah, such.
Exactly. That's
interesting.
That's played out over the last few years, and also the Ravens defense is just really freaking good. I mean, this like we talked about this. What was the difference between the sloppy offensive games and the good defensive games?
Okay.
In week one, I think this was not sloppy offense as much as just really good.
Defense. It was really good defense and bad luck though.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Two tipped interceptions. Like
okay.
That's not going to happen every week.
All right. Fair enough. All right. Harmon, give me either a deep sleeper or an early week three pickup.
Yeah, so because of the respect I have for the Ravens defense, I don't necessarily want to play this player this week, but this is somebody that I am absolutely targeting going forward, and that's Corey Coleman on the Browns.
Oh, yeah.
And in week three, he plays the Colts. So, and then after that, they get the Bengals,
giddy up,
the Jets. So I think this is a player that you want to get in on now. He's clearly Deshaun Kizer's guy. I mean, that was evident in the preseason. And then he had six targets in week one. He had that great catch around the end zone. And like I said, I think he's probably going to disappoint this week against – I mean, they're going into Baltimore. I think Deshaun Kizer is going to probably turn the ball over maybe once or twice. I mean, this should be a rough game for the Browns. And therefore, I think you should – like. If somebody drops him, that's great, but I think he's definitely a player that I would throw out offers for now.
That's what I'm saying,
and then
yeah.
Even maybe next week, if he disappoints again, maybe throw out some trade offers. Because Corey Coleman's was a great college prospect, had kind of just a rocky rookie year with injuries and everything. But,
right.
He looks like he's the guy and not Kenny Britt in Cleveland right now.
Well, Kenny Britt might not even start.
Yeah, I mean, Hugh Jackson, like, right under the bus did
wow.
Kenny Britt go because he, like, dropped a pass or whatever. But, so I don't really know who their other options would be if Kenny Britt doesn't
I have
know,
no
start.
Idea.
Ricardo
I mean,
Lewis.
It's Ricardo Lewis.
Kason Williams they picked up from the Seahawks.
That's right. He had a great preseason. He was probably one of the preseason stars there. But they let go of Rashard Higgins.
Some practice squad, yeah.
Okay. Here we go, Browns. Franch, give me a deep sleeper / week three pickup.
I get a guy.
Okay.
All right. Carolina Panthers wide receiver Russell Shepard.
Oh, baby.
Wow.
Last week.
This is deep sleeperish.
Last week, he had two catches on his two targets. One was a 40-yard touchdown bomb. His other one was a 13-yard reception. No player on the team had more than two receptions other than Christian McCaffrey.
That's not good.
He could be the filling that Ted Ginn role we saw last year as their deep threat. We were kind of like, who's going to take this role over? He took 90% of his lineups from the slot. He led the team with 53 receiving yards against the 49ers.
Okay.
And his upcoming schedule, week three, Saints, week four.
Nice.
Patriots, week five, Detroit Lions.
Not bad.
So there's some decent secondaries there that he might be able to do some damage against if he is indeed that guy for the Panthers.
I like it. I'll give you a deep sleeper here. How about George Kittle? Going to be taking on Seattle. And again, it's one of those situations where, I don't know, for whatever reason, Seattle has not put an emphasis on stopping tight ends, right? So George Kittle to me is somebody who played something like 90% of the snaps or something, right? So like, he's out there a lot, and he was a little bit banged up, as we as we noted, as Matt Harmon took a gif of me responding to his 40 time, a 4.5 40 for George Kittle, an unbelievable athlete there in San Francisco. And for whatever reason, Seattle has struggled defending against tight end. So for me, George Kittle for San Francisco is a deep sleeper that I like. I also really like picking up Jared Goff.
Ooh, spicy.
He's got Washington, and then he's got San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. He's got a good schedule.
It's not bad. I kind of like picking up Jared Goff. Look, I'm one of those Andy Dalton owners, right, where I'm saying to myself, look, I'm not playing him in a primetime game, you know, on a short week following a disastrous week one. I can't get myself to play Andy Dalton. I know I'm a Cal Bear, but I'm playing Jared Goff against Washington, and I'm going to roll Jared Goff out there against San Francisco as well, just to see what happens. I don't know. I think the schedule lines up all right. And I tell you what, if you're struggling at the quarterback position, you're in a deeper league, you need a second quarterback, whatever it might be. Jared Goff is at least worth a look.
Agree.
All right. Let's get to EDG every dang game. We're going to start in the morning games. Bears taking on the Bucks. Wiz, what you got?
Revenge!
Whoa!
Mike Glennon!
No.
Yes!
There's a lot of revenge games.
Don't do that to yourself, guys.
Oh, I thought you were serious. I was getting all hyped up.
Oh, please. No. Mike Glennon on the road against a very good Bucks defense.
I know.
Not a chance. I think really the only players from the Bears that you want to consider are the running backs. I think they both could be at least flex options. This is a game that the Bears could beat around in, though.
Howard is now a flex option.
Well, they're on the road against a great defense in a game where they're probably going to get beat handily, I'd assume. The Bucks have had extra time to prepare. They've got a reloaded offense.
That's true.
And that Bears defense doesn't fare as well on the road. So Howard and Cohen, they're going to see the volume. They're going to get work in the passing game. You can flex them. Deep play might be Zach Miller in PPR. He had 6 targets, 4 catches, 39 yards, and dropped a touchdown at the end of the game last week. So if you're desperate for tight end, I'd give him a call. On the flip side, I think it's a good spot for Jameis Winston. He's got all these weapons now, and I heard Evan Silva say on the Fantasy Feast this morning that Winston actually has a pretty good history against Vic Fangio defenses. So
interesting.
Down with that. Jaquizz Rodgers would probably be the only play in the backfield. Charles Sims is healthy too, so we don't know if this is going to be Jaquizz Rodgers getting 32 touches or whatever he had last year when he was filling in, but he should be the guy that you want to play from this backfield. Mike Evans, Deshaun Jackson are fine starts. And then at tight end, I think Cameron Brate's a sneaky play too. He's still the red zone option there. And we just saw, you know, fast, athletic tight end Austin Hooper smash the Bears secondary on his 2 targets. So
smash.
That's what I'd go with in this one.
Vikings taking on the Steelers. We got Pittsburgh Homer, Matt Franciszkiewicz. What's
Woo!
Up?
This is going to be a good game, guys.
Feels like it's going to be a nice little smash mouth game, man.
We got 2 good offenses. We got 2 good defenses going head-to-head here.
Right.
You're obviously starting Antonio Brown. You're starting Stephon Diggs. You're starting Lev Bell. You're starting Dalvin Cook. I like Adam Thielen here. I don't know about Martavis Bryant. Maybe he gets – I think it's a timing issue between him and Big Ben. They didn't really play much together in the preseason. Martavis missed some of training camp.
Such a weird week one.
It was a delayed return for him. Yeah, he only had, I think, 2 catches. One of his targets was actually picked off. I think the Steelers just overall need to work on their chemistry a little bit, but we know the Steelers are a different team when they play at Heinz Field. They're a lot more productive, so they have that going for them. I think Adam Thielen's a nice sleeper, and, I mean, you're pretty much starting all these guys.
All right, there you go.
How do you think we will feel come Monday morning about the Vikings offense.
Sad.
Obviously, well.
Oh, no, that was just a reflex.
Okay, sorry. How do you feel sad? That's dark, franchise. But don't intrude on my corner here.
Okay.
I think, by the way, the Ravens just placed Danny Woodhead on IR and promoted Jeremy Langford from the practice squad.
Oh,
I'm sure that's the IR boomerang.
Well, I mean, everybody can be boomeranged, but yeah, he's on IR, so he's going to miss.
Promoted who?
Jeremy Langford.
Oh.
Beautiful. Anyways, back to this, what my point here was, like, I think that a lot of people are going to be tempted to say that Vikings played the Saints. I mean, we didn't get a chance to really react to that game, obviously, because it was Monday night. But, you know, a lot of people are going to come off that game and be like, there's a Saints defense, blah, 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 it's Sam Bradford, whatever. In my opinion, those throws were just good throws. Like, no matter who was covering him, he was thrown into tight windows.
Yep.
He was just tossing some dimes out there. And, you know, I tweeted this yesterday, and some people, again, thought it was a hot take, that I think by the end of the year we'll be talking about Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen as one of the best wide receiver duos in the NFL. But, I mean, are you guys with me? Like, do you think that this is an offense that we're going to be –
best wide receiver
duo? Look.
Okay, I'm not with you there. I'm not with you there because there are some terrific duos.
I know, but that's how confident I am in I mean, obviously I love Stephon Diggs, but also Adam Thielen playing this big slot role is a perfect fit for him. He compared really favorably in reception perception to Alshon Jeffrey, who is, like, you know, just an okay separator, but obviously makes vertical plays. And you put a player like that, who's not necessarily the greatest against man coverage, but you put him into the slot where they don't have to face a bunch of tight man-to-man coverage. I mean, he's just going to rip people up in the middle of the field all year. I think that both these guys are really great. Obviously, Dalvin Cook's a great player in the backfield. The offensive line looks dialed in. I mean, I think this is, like, we're talking about overreaction or what? Am I overreacting, or, like, are we gonna be talking about the Vikings is a really great fantasy offense all year?
I think the big difference is Dalvin Cook back there. They have a run game now. They didn't have that last year. Defenses didn't have to worry about that backfield. So I think that unlocks everything else in terms of the passing game.
I got to be honest with you. I thought they looked very so-so running the ball.
Struggled early to run.
I don't think their run game is quite as effective as what we saw on, you know, Monday against the Saints. And I think if defenses can adjust to taking away the outside, I think you're right. I mean, they'll try to funnel targets inside, maybe to Thielen, and maybe try to keep everything in front of them. I don't think defenses are not going to let Diggs beat them over the top. They're just not going to let them do it because they don't have any other options. You see what I'm saying? So I think defenses will live with the underneath stuff. I don't think the run game is still as good as advertised. I don't know. I'm still.
I don't think it's true that they don't have any other options. They've got a great tight end in Kyle Rudolph, Adam Thielen.
They
got
to get, look, I think they got to get into the red zone for Rudolph to be a factor, because out of the red zone, he's, I don't know, he's just not quite as effective, right? So, I don't know. I think the offense is okay. I don't think it's great. I think that they definitely showed out in week one. Moving forward, I would be very concerned about how the run game looks. But, again, it could totally be a situation where everything clicks this year.
It's an inflection point game for them. Like,
you're right.
We're coming off a great performance in week one. Like, if they go out and just look good against the Steelers
on the road
in Pittsburgh.
That's right.
Then I think we know for
you're
sure,
right.
You know, and this is the thing about week one. We got to choose, like, you got to take a stand. And I mean, I'm taking a positive stand, but I could be wrong.
The one key to this game is going to be the protection, because it held up pretty well for Minnesota in week one.
Great in pass pro, I thought.
And they did well. And Sam Bradford is pretty good at getting the ball out quick. The Steelers sacked Kaiser, I think, 7 times in week one, but he was holding on the ball.
Yeah.
He averaged protection stats 2.83 seconds to throw. Bradford was just 2.57, so he had time. He's got outlet options, and he's got a better offensive line for right now. So if that line holds up against a better pass rush with, like, I mean, the Saints have some talent in their front seven, like Cam Jordan's a good player and stuff. But if this front seven, if their offensive line holds up against T.J. Watt and everybody in Pittsburgh, then we can really start believing in Minnesota.
I like it. All right, very quickly, Pats against New Orleans. What you got, Harmon?
Yeah, this is
all the points.
Everybody in the pool sort of game from a fantasy perspective.
Right.
I think you want to get your guys.
Hey, talk about an inflection point. If this is a situation where the Patriots don't play well, everyone's talking about, oh, they're angry. Oh, they got extra time and this, that, and this other thing. Look, man, they've suffered a lot of losses on that offensive side of the ball. They're adjusting on the fly. I feel like this is a week against a terrible Saints defense where if they don't show out, okay, now we start raising some red flags.
Yeah, and not to mention, like, Franchise and I were talking about this on DDFP yesterday. Like, you can say the same thing about the Saints. Like, they're coming in back into a spot where they should look pretty good. I mean, they got embarrassed in week one against the Vikings, and now they're coming back into their home field where they're always good on offense.
That's
so,
a great point.
I mean, we could easily be looking at an 0-2 Patriots start. I mean, I'm gonna pick the Pats to win, but at the same time, like, this is definitely a situation where both of these teams are kind of in that inflection point.
Yeah, I like it.
And on the Patriots side, talking about the backfield earlier, I mean, I think you're rolling out Mike Gillisley because he's got great touchdown odds, but like James White in this game, who was just as big a factor in week one.
Being on the field, getting a lot of touches, and
they're missing that short to intermediate slot receiver option. I think that James White is the most likely candidate to
Can you play Burkhead?
Probably don't want to. Yeah. Probably want to side against it. I think if you're desperate for running back help, you're a DJ owner and you need something, I mean, he's got a deeper
league flex play.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
So I think he's not an option that I would prefer to play. Like I said, Chris Hogan, great spot in this game. Brandon Cook's revenge game.
Oh yeah, revenge.
Even regardless of that, he's in a great spot.
He historically lights it up in domes and the Superdome too. This is his area.
Exactly, totally. And on the New Orleans side, I mean, I think you're gonna avoid playing Adrian Peterson. I think better days fantasy wise are going to be coming for him when the Saints are building a lead against a team in the Superdome, when their defense will allow that.
Yeah.
But I don't really want to mess around with that.
Which will be February.
Sure. So I don't really want to mess around with that this week. And in the passing game, I think Michael Thomas bounce back's big in this spot. The Patriots can't really rush the passer, so I think that you're looking at your passing game guys.
They can't. And for the record, I got some good nugs, I think, from one of our research packets. Drew Brees is the only quarterback with 100-plus passer rating against Bill Belichick defenses with a minimum of 100 attempts. He has a 10-to-1 touchdown-to-interception ratio against the Patriots since 2000.
Interesting.
He also throws nearly 3 touchdowns per home game versus under 2 on the road. And in the Superdome, he's averaged nearly 31 fantasy points a game since 2011.
What?
So, yeah. Drew Brees, fire him up.
Wait, 31 fantasy points per game?
That's what I saw. I was on the road of his splits app, and that's unless I looked at the wrong thing. But he pushes 30 points a game.
Good God!
You think about it though. He'll throw for 300 to 400 yards, and you tack on 3-4 touchdowns. That'll get you right there.
Amazing. All right, Philadelphia at KC. Wiz, what you got?
Philadelphia at KC. This game is a sneaky one that we could see a lot of points in.
I think so.
The Eagles side, I have more questions about though. Because the Chiefs allow just a 55% completion percentage, 5.8 yards per attempt, and a 7-to-10 touchdown to interception split last year. And now we're bringing Carson Wentz, who is a talented guy and can make plays downfield, but he's also prone to some really, really boneheaded gaffes. We saw that awful fumble he had last week where he overthrew the guy in the backfield and the Redskins picked it up. He also had a couple passes that could have been pick six, and he had one that was pick six by Ryan Kerrigan. So I think either way, though, the Chiefs' offense looks explosive. They're at home. The Eagles just lost Ronald Darby, so I think it's a great spot for Tyreek Hill. Kareem Hunt, you're starting him. I'm streaming Alex Smith this week.
Yeah.
And Travis Kelce, like, he's in a bat. The Eagles are very good at shutting down tight ends. They limited Jordan Reed last week. Historically, they've done that. But you can't sit a player like Travis Kelce in the Eagles' offense for the volume he gets alone, too. Back on the Eagles' side, I think this could be a good bounce-back spot for Alshon Jeffrey. He played 49% of his snaps at left wide receiver in week one, which would set him up to avoid Marcus Peters for at least half the game because he plays on the right side of the field.
Yeah.
And this could be a great spot for Zach Ertz, too, though. The Chiefs lost Eric Berry, who they had shadowing Rob Gronkowski in week one, but Ertz was fantastic in week one, and he could be breaking his Mr. December trend that has lived with him for the past 3 years. Like, that's legit not a joke. It's been 50% of his production for multiple years in December.
Yeah.
But he was 8-for-8 for like 90 yards on catches last week, and he could be in a really good spot here. Don't really love the backfield in this one. I don't know if anybody else feels differently. If you have to start LeGarrette Blount, you're just praying for a goal line
touchdown.
Receiving
That's
touchdown
it. That's
again.
It.
Yeah, he's a touchdown.
Rare.
Throw. How do you feel about Nelson Agholor in this spot?
I think he could be decent as a PPR play or a flex play in PPR leagues.
Yeah. I mean, he's playing a lot from the slot, which, again, should put it away from Marcus Peters.
He saw a lot of work, man.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
He looked good doing it. So
Titans at Jags franchise, what you got?
you're obviously starting Leonard Fournette. He had 29 touches in week 1, 100 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, he looked good.
He saw 8-plus defenders in the box on 57.7% of his runs, jeez, highest in the NFL last week per Next Gen Stats. The other side, DeMarco Murray was actually 5th in that stat, seeing 8-plus defenders, 41.7% of his runs. Hmm. He only had 12 carries for 44 yards. Little concerned about the Titans' run game. We saw the Jags kind of shut down Houston last week. I mean, Houston's offensive line, I think, had more to do with it than Jags' defense. They had 10 sacks.
Yeah.
I think the Jags' defense is a nice sleeper in fantasy now. You know, we've been talking about this defense coming around the last two seasons. Maybe we're finally starting to see this. They
possible.
Add Calais Campbell, Bouye, Barry Church, Jalen Ramsey is there, drafted in 2016. They got all these playmakers on defense.
Miles Jack.
Yeah, I like the Jags' defense.
They're stacked defensively. I just
they are.
The one thing that, for fantasy purposes, that concerns me a little bit, man, the Titans protect the ball really well.
They do. They do. And
yeah, it's a strength on strength.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The other big thing here, Allen Robinson out for the season with an ACL injury.
Ugh.
That could open the door for a guy like Marquise Lee, who had 851 yards last year with the Jags, to maybe do some stuff. But
okay.
I think overall it hurts Blake Bortles. You're probably not starting him anyway. And then the Titans wide receivers, Corey Davis led the team in targets last week after this narrative that he would only be used in quote-unquote special situations.
Right.
He was on the field for 65% of the snaps, third most in that wide receiving core. I just think the Tennessee wideouts are going to be a little unpredictable on a week-to-week basis. So,
Cards taking on the Colts.
I know, Harmon, you mentioned this in your Next Gen Stats piece, which is Backward this morning, but you kind of like Eric Decker this week.
Yeah.
Because of Boye and Jalen Ramsey on the outside, and I stole this from your top 10 quarterback Next Gen Stats thing last year, but they allowed a passer rating of just 68 and 67 when targeted last year.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, they're two shutdown corners on the exterior there. Inside, they have Aaron Colvin, who's like an okay slot corner, but that's clearly the weakest point of their defense is up the middle there. And I think, like, if we're just going off week one usage, Decker was out there more than any other receiver. He didn't really do much, but at the same time, he averaged just 7.9 air yards per target, and the Jags put all that wave of pressure on the Texans defense. I mean, 64% pressure rate in week one. The next highest
outrageous
was 48%. So, I mean, they were killing it. And if they're going to beat up the Titans up front, which, like I said, the Titans are a great pass protection unit, but if they're getting pressure on Mariota, maybe he looks for Decker in that short area as the slot receiver there. So I think that he is – I mean, he disappointed in week one, and I think someone's losing their job to Corey Davis soon. But Decker, at this point, I think he's like a good week one or week two contrarian play because nobody's going to be thinking about him. But I think
true,
he's a good bet for TD.
Same kind of goes for Delanie Walker because the Texans
for sure.
Tight ends before they all got concussed, sadly, in week one, managed 6 catches for 60 yards against the Jags defense. So same thing goes. If he's getting pressured, Delanie Walker's going to be a good safety valve for him.
Apparently, via RotoWorld, Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Bouye are sitting for practice today. So just keep an eye on that.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, that can
all
change
right
things.
Cards at Colts. Harmon, what you got?
Yeah, so I mentioned I watched this game really closely, the Cardinals in week one.
Color me skeptical.
Nice.
I worked in a color me skeptical at some point in one of my
I know, I
deep
saw
dive.
It. I
nobody
liked
said
it
anything.
I read it. I clocked it. I was just realizing we hadn't hit one of those in a while. So.
Color me skeptical about the NFL Harmon Live podcast.
Yes,
oh, no. I'm not skeptical about that. That's going to be a hit.
That's happening. Yeah.
All right, anyways,
Chris, we'll talk about that after the show.
Wow.
We're setting that up. But anyways, I think that this game is interesting because the Cardinals, I mean, coming into it real rough with David Johnson, obviously, pretty much. By the way, you guys are cool with dropping David Johnson, right?
Yeah.
I am not yet.
You're not yet?
No.
I think I am.
I mean, because if he comes back after 8 weeks.
I mean, Bruce Arians said we hope to get him back Thanksgiving or Christmas, which, by the way, Bruce, that's a big gap.
That's like
that's
the cable
month
company.
That's a
we'll
month
be there between 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. So
yeah,
just be around.
It's a hell of a gap, bro.
Yeah.
Like, but anyways.
Can I just say I'm not, because it's interesting to me, right? Like, we're talking about when Zeke Elliott was going to be suspended for 6 games, was going to miss 7 games in fantasy because of the bye week, we were taking this guy at the end of the second round because he's going to carry you home into the playoffs.
You make it.
Yeah, if you make it. But he's still a second. People were saying he's still a second rounder.
Right.
Not that he's a 10th rounder, that he's a second rounder. Now, okay, I get it. He could miss 12 weeks.
He could miss the entire season.
Yes, he could miss the entire season, which obviously would absolutely annihilate one of your bench spots. But if he comes back after 8 weeks, and again, it's not a lower body injury.
Yeah.
It's a wrist.
I asked because I've got David Johnson in like two or three leagues.
I got him in one. I'm not dropping.
I haven't dropped him yet. I haven't decided how I feel about it. Because there's just was no one on the waiver wire. I don't feel like you just need to feel like you have to drop David Johnson.
That's what I'm saying.
Week three waiver wire. If there's somebody that emerges a big pickup, I think I'm.
You know what? How about this? In a 10-team league, I think I drop him.
Okay.
Mostly because, you know, there's going to be some really interesting depth out there. But if you're in a deeper league where you're like, should I drop this guy for Josh Bellamy? No.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That makes sense.
All right, let's dive back into this
sorry,
game,
but back into the game. I just thought it was a discussion worth having.
No, it was good.
It's good.
I like the Cardinals passing game to bounce back in this one. Carson Palmer.
Do you?
Yeah. Look, Carson Palmer, like I said, I watched this game a lot. We rewatched it on my day off as well, too. You know, when you get bodies around Palmer, I think you need to worry about him, but can the Colts really get bodies around anybody right now? it's a great defensive bounce back spot. I mean, Larry Fitzgerald now I think is in a great spot. He had 13 targets in week one.
Crazy.
I mean, he should be a target monster from here on out without 100%. David Johnson.
I wrote about trading for Larry Fitzgerald for that exact reason in trade calls this week.
And John Brown was looking good. He was out there. So I think he's definitely worth a play this week in a really good spot against the Colts who led up a ton of 20-plus yard pass plays in week one. So I think you can roll your Cardinals out there.
I like it.
And I'll be back on the Palmer trade. And on the Colts side, like we said, do whatever you can to not have to play any Colts. I will not be surprised if Jacoby Brissett starts, if Dante Moncrief rips off a couple of big plays, simply because I think we'll see Patrick Peterson on T.Y. Hilton, and Justin Bethel was one of the big culprits of the Kenny Golladay breakout in week one, because that guy led up just a ton of production to Golladay. And if Moncrief runs some routes against him, I think he could win. Because Brissett, simply, I just think is more aggressive and better than Scott Tolzien.
Young quarterback. I like young quarterbacks with tight ends. Jack Doyle is a catch machine. I don't hate it. All right, Bills at Carolina. WizKid, what you got?
It was great to see Tyrod Taylor deliver last week. Like I was all on him as a late round quarterback again, but then he lost Sammy Watkins, all that stuff. I don't think I drafted him in any teams, but he put up a good performance. I do not think you can play him again. You're not going to play any of the wide receivers in this game. The Carolina defense is too good.
Okay.
The two players you can play from Buffalo are LeSean McCoy, because he got literally all of the touches. He had 27 last week, so he's pretty much...
Except the one at the goal line.
Which was just bad luck, because he got dinged up
on
that play they brought in to score. So he's got 25-plus touches with scoring upside every week, like when they get there. So he's locked in. But Charles Clay, again, if you streamed him last week, hopefully you didn't cast him to the waiver wire, because he could be in a good spot again this week. He led the team in targets. He had 9. He had 1 touchdown, almost 2. And George Kittle last week caught 5 passes against the Carolina defense. So if Tyrod's going to go anywhere as they move the ball,
might be Clay.
It's going to go to Clay. Mm-hmm. On the Carolina side, I think this is kind of like an all systems go game. The Buffalo defense is not that great after shipping off a couple of players in trades and other things this past season. So I think this could be a nice bounce back game for Cam, Kelvin Benjamin, and Greg Olsen in the passing game. The Bills secondary can get, the Jets didn't move the ball, but they're the Jets. Carolina should be able to go, I really like a bounce back for the passing game. And the backfield, I think both are just flex starters now. If you took Christian McCaffrey in like the second or third round, you might be a little disappointed. But he and Jonathan Stewart combined for 27.7 PPR points last week. They're used both sometimes together in different spaces. So you're going to get good volume. McCaffrey led the team in targets, and then get 5 catches, and you're just hoping that when you're starting that back, they're the one that gets into the end zone.
That's an interesting way to look at that, actually, is that they combined for whatever points it was, 28 points or whatever it was in PPR, and maybe you figure, they'll split it out
some way. The backfield is very productive, so you want to – it's a good situation to start the players from, because they're going to produce.
Yeah, I like it. Jets at Oakland. French, what you got?
I think – I wouldn't be surprised if Marshawn Lynch is the top-scoring fantasy running back after this week. It's kind of easy to say that going against the Jets. He had He looked good last week, I got to say.
If they have a big, I tell you what, if they have a big lead, they're not going to Marshawn, though. I think it's going to
think they take him off.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
They pointed this out on the Feast, though, but it is narrative street in this one because Marshawn Lynch is playing his first home game in front of his home crowd.
Oh, town business.
Right.
Town business,
right.
James.
All right, let's go.
he had, I think, 96 yards from scrimmage last week. He looked like the Marshawn Lynch we knew a couple years ago.
He
looked trucking Jarrell Casey at the line, 300.
What?
Oh, my goodness.
It's Jarrell Casey he trucked. Come
on. You're starting all your Raiders. I like Jared Cook as a sleeper tight end here. I wrote about him as my streamers. Gelhard just mentioned what Charles Clay did against the Jets last week at the tight end position. So I think you plug Jared Cook in. And
just plug him in.
He was second on the team with five targets.
I want to throw one little nugget in I found for the matchups column, too. I had written in week one that we couldn't start Jared Cook because while he's a good player and a great addition to the offense, the Raiders would have to like change a like three-year trend of not targeting their tight ends a lot on the offense. However, those five targets that Cook saw were 15.6% of the team total targets. Only one tight end hit that all last year for the Raiders, and that was Clive Walford in week two. So if they're working him in more and targeting him more heavily, he's going to bump up and be on the regular streaming radar.
For sure. High-powered offense, man.
I like it.
And then on the Jets side of the ball,
yes.
I mean, the running backs were just
nope.
Not even anything last. Bilal Powell led the backfield with 22 rushing yards. He did have five catches for 17 yards. I think you can
– Five catches for 17?
I think you can start Jermaine Kearse in a PPR league. He led the team with 9 targets, had 7 catches, 59 yards. He was on the field for 96% of their plays.
You're not going to feel good about it, but
I think
the same thing. Like if you're in a bigger bigger PPR league or you have to start 3 wide receivers, like
yeah.
I'd rather play Robbie Anderson.
The Jets are probably
really?
Going to be down in the second
half. He's
got
big play potential. He was on the field more than Kearse.
He did have 8 targets. He only caught 4 of them.
He led
you're relying on Josh McCown to get these guys the ball.
He led the team in percentage of air yards, I would rather play Anderson. But I don't want to play any
– I would rather not play fantasy than play them. But
yeah. If there's anyone, I would go with Kearse just because of the volume. But
yeah, I mean, my
stance not
on
a good
Jets.
Look for the Jets right now.
Stance on the Jets has been well documented.
Yeah.
49ers at Chargers. Harmon, very quickly.
Dolphins at Chargers.
Dolphins. What did I say?
49ers.
Oh, sorry. Dolphins at Chargers.
Well, I think with the Dolphins, we get the first look at their Jay Cutler-led offense. I mean, it's crazy. Got a great week one game from all those guys. But I think Jay Ajayi will be out there, and he's going to – I mean, you're locking him in as an RB1 play, I think.
Let's go.
This will be the test for the Devontae Parker, you know, breakout because it's a good set of corners there
it
in
is.
Los Angeles. Jason Verrett and Casey Hayward.
It is, yes.
Jarvis Landry. I do want to track his usage overall.
Same.
Probably do not want to play Jarvis Landry in this spot.
Crazy.
Not really excited about playing any of the Dolphins pass catchers in week
Parker's
one.
The only one I would think about maybe
just,
in the flex.
You just kind of want to see how it looks.
I like Chargers Buddy. Defense as a
Yeah,
streamable D.
That's fair.
Absolutely,
I mean, their defense like looked good, especially Russ, Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa. That's a great combo.
Reckon
so.
Them.
Cutler was sacked 29 times the last time he played in an Adam Gase offense too, and he missed
a
game or two in that year.
Say, I don't think he played so. 16. And on the Chargers side, I mean, Hunter Henry is the
big question
here.
Mark, yeah.
I don't. Obviously, but people are dropping Hunter Henry, and I think that that's completely understandable. I think he was a mistake of a draft pick where you probably took him because I just think he's not going to be the full-time tight end.
I've been saying
competition
it.
For
I've
targets,
been saying it.
Man, it's too much.
Till Antonio Gates gets out of there.
Yeah,
agree. And look.
His
like,
ceiling will be limited.
At the tight end position, there's a handful of guys, like 6 or maybe 7, that you play every single week and you roster every single week. And the rest of these guys, you know, the Martellus Bennetts of the world, the Hunter Henrys, like, don't get attached to these guys because of where you draft them. Just cut them loose. And the rest of the Chargers, I think you want to try to get in your lineup.
The reason I love the Chargers defense, the streamable defense this week, is because Jay Cutler likes to stand back there a little bit. And the fact that I think he's going to force feed balls to Devontae Parker.
100%.
And if he's doing that against those corners, forget about it. I mean,
Hayward
one of those is
NFL
getting picked off, man.
Interceptions last
he almost had a pick 6 against the Broncos, too. I would say what's interesting about those corners, too, is I'm curious which one he's going to draw because they were one of the few teams that had their guys shadow people. They had Verrett and Hayward each shadow Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders
Got
and
it.
Just track them over the whole field. So
Verrett is the smaller guy, so maybe
Hayward on Parker, yeah. And
it was awesome. He was a top 10 corner last year.
He's great.
All right, so 49ers taking on Seattle. Wiz, what you got?
Don't play any 49ers, please.
Okay.
Just don't. The Seahawks defense on the road held the Packers to 17 points, and manhandled them. Now you've got the 49ers going on the road against an angry Seattle team in front of their home crowd. This is just a disaster.
It is.
You don't want to start anybody. Now, I'm not even starting Pierre Garçon
in
leagues that I have him. It's tough, but it's
low
just,
side.
Just bad.
Get some catches.
Negative game script.
He could get PPR. He could still hit his floor for you. But if I've got other options, I'm going with him. On the Seahawks side of the ball, still staying away from the backfield until we get any sort of clarity. But I think this should be a huge bounce back game for Russell Wilson, Doug Baldwin, and Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham had really puzzling usage in week one. He only had 6 air yards per target. I tweeted out his route chart and 4 of his catches or 4 of his targets came within 2 yards of the line of scrimmage. It was really bizarre. They might have been using him to try and help block. Didn't help because the Packers were in the backfield the whole game. But he, Baldwin, and Wilson, I think, should eat. And obviously, Seahawks defense, start them if you got them.
I mentioned this stat when we were at team building last night, and I found it today. It comes from @DavisHSU, Seattle free agent writer. He noted that in last season, the Seahawks averaged 26 points on turf on the road, 28.11 points at home, and 9.8 points on grass. And that kind of played itself out. It's an interesting split. It's something to monitor.
Sure.
James D. Groh.
Yeah, we need to get James D. Groh on the case, apparently. But I think
Where is James D. Groh?
Yeah, where's Gary?
Where's Gary?
Yeah, Gary's Gary's recuperating. The heat wave.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Dude, tell me about it. I had some plants suffer through the heat wave too, but looks like a few of them are definitely salvageable. Check out my Instagram feed for that.
Anyways,
it does just make the stat makes sense intuitively just because the Seahawks have a lot of team speed, including their scrambling quarterback. And maybe they're just more productive when they're away from grass. So just something to monitor.
Washington at LA Rams franchise. What you got?
I don't trust the Washington offense at all right now.
Will come back. That cannot.
Oh help. My God! Yeah, I forgot about that. He's back. The Rams defense start him in fantasy. 29-ish points last week. 2 pick sixes. I think that kind of stuff is going to continue. I think the Washington's inconsistency on offense is carrying over from the preseason into the regular season. Terrell Pryor had some drops last week. Jamison Crowder wasn't a factor. The Eagles kind of shut down Jordan Reed. They had no run game. All these things add up to not a productive day for the Redskins. The Rams D, they blitzed the second most of any team in week one. They had 20 blitzes. One thing to watch out for is Sammy Watkins going to get shut down by Josh Norman. If so, maybe Cooper Kupp has a big day. I kind of like Cooper Kupp, especially in a PPR league. I think he's a must own right now.
Oh, yeah.
If he's still hanging on the waiver wire, try to make room for him on your roster because you need to own this guy.
I agree.
And like you mentioned, Goff is on my streamers list this week. I like the matchup. The Redskins give up a lot of points to quarterbacks.
All right, Cowboys at Denver. Harmon, what you got?
Yeah, no, I like this game. I
really, do you? I think it's going to be ugly.
Well, I think I like this game from I'm really interested to watch it. It's not like a fantasy bonanza. For sure. I wrote it up in Next Gen Stats actually in the column because we talked about the number really that the Broncos did on Melvin Gordon in week one. They deployed eight or more defenders in the box on 62.5% of Gordon's non-red zone carries, which is notable. He had 6 carries for just 11 yards out of 11 personnel. So even when they have spread the field, Denver did a really good job locking them down. Are they going to do that to Ezekiel Elliott, who was really fantastic in week one against a really good run defense? So I'm still really confident in Zeke, of course.
For sure.
The Dallas passing game, obviously Dez whiffed in his week one matchup against Janoris Jenkins, but I don't think it was all on Dez though. I think that Dak really didn't make any sort of passes into tight windows for Dez Bryant.
But that's not what he does.
No, it's not. It's not what he does, which is what Dez Bryant does. So
right.
But I do think that those two guys are going to get it going, and I don't really love playing Dez, but I think if you own him, I think you are playing him in this spot. And on the Denver side, I love Trevor Siemian, man. I think he's in a week where we don't have a lot of great streaming quarterback options on the waiver wire. If you need it, I think that Trevor Siemian is worth the play. Again, talking about week
totally
one,
with you on this.
Week one inflection points. We're going to either fight.
The word of the day is,
I know, you keep saying that.
This episode. You had James to say it, too.
I know.
You got me. Is
your Instagram an inflection point?
Harmon's plants are at an inflection point right
now. Some of the plants
are
at an inflection point.
They are indeed.
No, but we saw Dallas's defense look really, really good in week one. But was that mostly just because the Giants' offense without Odell Beckham is really bad? They put some decent pressure on Eli Manning. Put that chart in the Next Gen Stats column as well, too. But Trevor Siemian was great. I mean, he threw 32% of his passes went into tight windows per Next Gen Stats. He was great. He had the highest air yard differential in terms of completing passes downfield. He was great on passes of 10-plus air yards. We had the second-best pass rating among quarterbacks last week. Look, Trevor Siemian is good.
He had 181 pass yards. Let's not get too nuts about it.
Overall? No, he had 219 passing yards.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
He had over 200 yards. Two touchdowns. Look, the question really is just like
– I just think pace of play is going to be too slow. I don't think the scoring opportunities will be there. I don't know, man. I just
want to promote Trevor Siemian because I think he's a good quarterback who doesn't get enough respect.
I like Trevor Siemian. I like him a lot.
It's a rough week for streaming quarterbacks.
I remember I came in talking about Trevor Siemian in this very podcast last year, and I'm like, I like what I saw from Trevor, and everyone poo-pooed me. Everyone was like, well, it was Trevor Siemian.
Sources, I think this is fake news.
that seems fake.
I am going to go back and find it.
Go. Do it. Right. Dare you.
I'm probably not going to, actually.
Figured. What a waste of time it would be to scrub through all those podcasts.
To find the one spot where I'm like, hey, I love Trevor Siemian. Everyone just dumps on me. Nope. Sunday Night Football, Packers at Atlanta. WizKid, what you got?
Both of these offenses were kind of held in check a little bit in week one, but right. I think we have to operate under the assumption that this game is going to
be
a track meet. This game could be very fun.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to start on the Falcons side first. Julio Jones absolutely smashed the Packers in the NFC Championship game. I think he had 180 yards, two touchdowns. However, most of that production came on Ladarius Gunter, who has been cut.
Okay.
By the Packers. So, and then if you go back to their meeting earlier in the season, it wasn't Julio Jones that smashed. It was actually Mohamed Sanu. I think he's a sneaky play in this game.
Oh,
actually.
I love him.
He had 9 targets last week, and he could rip apart the Packers over the middle of the field. That's what they did. When the Packers focused on Julio Jones in that first matchup, they just deployed Mohamed Sanu over the middle of the field, and he absolutely ate. And then I think the backfield's going to be in a decent spot. Devonta Freeman has better splits at home than Tevin Coleman does for the Falcons when they've been on this team together. So I really like Devonta Freeman in this spot. You're starting Matt Ryan. Austin Hooper, I don't know if I'm going to trot him back out this week. It could be a decent option. I thought Jimmy Graham was going to crush the Packers. The Seahawks used him in a puzzling way. So
it's only two
if the Falcons try to take Hooper downfield a little bit more, maybe he's in there. But as for the Packers, I also think if you have any of their wide receivers, you're starting them in this contest. All three of those guys got a fair amount of looks last week, and I think it's just going to be a case where you're starting all of them. Jordy's obviously a locked-in one, but you can start Randall and Cobb and Devontae Adams and just hope one of them gets into the end zone.
Because
Adams still saw 7 targets last week. He had 47 yards on his 3 catches. Cobb, with his crazy 9 catch on 13-target day, was really ripping it up.
Is Cobb back for reals now?
Yes.
I mean, 13 targets, and he looked good.
Well, I mean, and I know you noted this in targets and touches, Harmon, and I was going to say the same thing too, but you know he's important to this offense, and especially when Aaron Rodgers said that in the playoffs last year after Cobb's 3-touchdown game against the Giants, he said, we're better when 18 is on the field.
I got you.
So this is a dynamic offense.
Well, he's got to be on the field and healthy. I mean, that's the question.
That was the problem last year. He played 13 games, but dude had ankle, hamstring,
he was not
neck,
right.
concussion.
Yes.
Like he was beat up. And then I really think, obviously, you're starting Aaron Rodgers, but I think Ty Montgomery has, like, RB1 overall for this week potential in this game.
He's your boy's pick in our perfect challenge.
I had him in my lineup, too.
Well, you look at what the Falcons have always been weak against.
Pass-catching running backs.
Pass-catching running backs.
Interesting.
And sure enough, Tariq Cohen, 12 targets against them in week one. So,
yep. And Jordan Howard, 17 targets went to the backs for 11 catches in week one for the Bears.
Beautiful.
And Ty Montgomery, I think, was 4 for 4 catching passes out of the backfield last week against Seattle. So
he looked good.
And he looked good. He gutted out like a hard performance.
That's what I'm saying.
One of the best front sevens
in
the National Football League. So
he played more snaps than any other running back in week one.
Lock him into your lineup, and just he could go bananas this week.
Lock and load. I love it. Monday Night Football, Lions take on the Giants. Franch, what you got?
Obviously, the storyline is will Odell Beckham play in this game? I think if he does, we'll see a different Giants offense.
He did practice today. Or practice. Part in practice.
I'm not not saying they're gonna blow the roof off the place, but okay. he's kind of the key to that offense.
NFL Media Insider Ian Rappaport reporting that it's high optimism.
That's good.
Odell
he's already
that's
practicing.
Good. That's good.
Well, after they saw what week one held, it was like, I think we'll try to get him out.
Yeah. credit to you, James Coe. You wrote a great Next Gen Stats breakdown about how Kenny Golladay unlocks the Lions passing game. He kind of shredded the Matthew Stafford shredded the Cardinals secondary on the outside. He had four touchdown passes, and Golladay there is the deep threat, kind of allows Golden Tate to return to the slot. He had 10 catches there for 107 yards.
Yeah.
I kind of like all the Lions except Marvin Jones, really.
Surprising stat of the day for me was when I found out that Golden Tate played 76% of his snaps out wide last year.
Yeah.
That was crazy to me. I'm like, wait, what? He only played 26% of his snaps in the slot. We saw in week one he played over 80% of his snaps in the slot. And I just was like, well, obviously you got to put him there. That's where that's where he operates the best. So I that was the surprising stat for me.
He wrecks fools in the slot.
Yeah, he's really good there.
10 catches, 12 targets, 107 yards last week.
He's a straight game changer in PPR.
I like Eric Ebron a little bit in this game. We saw Jason Witten getting in the end zone last week. I don't know if you can really reliably start any of these running backs. Maybe you flex Theo Riddick and hope he does some work in the
How about our boy Amir Abdullah, bah?
Yeah, man. I don't know,
He looked bad.
I mean, he had a tough
–
look, it was a tough matchup against the Cardinals last week.
Yeah, that's true.
He wasn't efficient, and we saw Washington – get in there.
And the Giants have another good defensive line as
they
well.
They do. I just don't – I'm not starting any Giants backs. Maybe Theo Riddick and Amir Abdullah in a flex. It's just not a promising look for either backfield.
Right. I think you said, I'm worried about the outside receivers for the Lions this week. If Golladay gets over on the Giants secondary, then, he's the GD truth. But I'm with you. Ebron and Tate are great plays this week.
Yeah. All right. I like it. That's it for every damn game. Let's close out with a round of Daily Daps.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
This is the Daily
Daps and Hugs. Give me daps because I be scribbling raps.
Give me dabbing up daps about daps. Daps.
Daily Dap time. Let's go. Matt Harmon, what you got?
So I am an impressionable idiot, as many people know. And I've started to do a lot more on Snapchat, like answering fantasy questions and all the rest. And
cool.
You can do the thing where you like create a Bitmoji or whatever on
yes.
there. And someone talked me into it because, again, I'm an impressionable idiot. And I was very skeptical of this whole thing because it takes forever to like design one. And also, I feel like you're kind of judging like yourself.
Okay.
And I'm like, I don't like want to make myself look too handsome, then people are like, oh, you're so vain. You think you look that pretty. I don't want to make myself look too ugly. And then
it's a Bitmoji.
I know, but you know, it takes forever to make one. And look, you're like, I've quit like halfway through five times. But anyways,
you're too concerned with your image.
I am. Well, I'm very image conscious. But anyways, I think that.
What are you talking about?
So
everyone looks the same.
So the
cartoons.
Daily Dap, though, I showed this to these guys earlier, James. And I'll tweet out the image too.
Okay.
But I was very skeptical about the whole thing. But this one made it all worth it. It's a little book with my face in it, and it just says, "Why even try?" And I thought it was so great with the brand that I've built on this podcast.
That's
so
good.
I'll definitely tweet it out for everybody. But it made the whole process worth it. It gave me a big laugh when I saw it.
Does this count as you dapping yourself since you dapped your own?
It does!
Emoji?
Yes!
That's three.
Yes!
That's three.
I'm dapping the.
Yes!
I'm dapping the whole entity.
That's a trend now, guys.
Oh, I am dapping the whole
three.
Entity of the Bitmoji.
Whoa.
Not mine. Now I'm in on it. I think they are funny. There
legit
are a few that
trend.
Gave me a good laugh. So
in three of the last 4 weeks where Matt Harmon has been on the podcast, Harmon has dapped himself.
This is outrageous.
You can find Harmon's bit emoji on his own Twitter. So
this is outrageous.
There's levels.
I love it.
Alex,
I'm not doing Daily Daps anymore. I'm done with this segment.
Let's get from Wisconsin. What you got?
I'm going to Daily Dap. I haven't sadly read a lot of news or watched a lot of new stuff this week. Been consuming football. And last night we did a little bit of the drinking, so that occupied some time. But Daily Daps to the trailer for The Disaster Artist. James Franco. Got the book. So it's based on the movie The Room, which we've talked about on this podcast a lot. We had our friend Liz Loza, who auditioned to be Lisa in the movie on to talk about it, and she's a great fantasy writer over at Yahoo. But so the guy who played Mark wrote a book called The Disaster Artist, which was his behind-the-scenes tell-all of the making of The Room. James Franco optioned the book, wrote the script, and directed it. He stars as Tommy Wiseau. His brother Dave Franco plays Mark, and they made a movie about the making of The Room. It looks hysterical. The trailer's so funny. I tweeted out the other day, and I actually heard a rumor that like this movie, it's coming out later in this fall, I think, maybe, or winter, like December maybe, could actually have awards buzz around it. It's that good.
Interesting.
And so it looks hilarious. James Franco is perfect as Tommy Wiseau. I was cracking up so much during the trailer, so I cannot wait to go see this movie. Check out the trailer for The Disaster Artist.
Speaking of trailers, the trailer daily adapts to the trailer for Blade Runner 2049.
Oh, God, I can't
wait for that. It looks amazing.
I'm so excited for that movie.
It looks amazing. The fact that they were able to get Harrison Ford, too.
It's got my favorite modern director right now, Denis Villeneuve, behind the camera. I think he did Arrival, he did Prisoners, he did Sicario.
Oh, great.
I think Roger Deakins is shooting it, which is why it looks gorgeous.
It
Ryan
looks
Gosling,
awesome.
Jared Leto.
But it also
Robin
has
White.
The feel of the original Blade Runner, too. You know what I mean?
So good. Oh,
never saw the original Blade Runner.
Oh, you're missing out. Such
Blade Runner's out here living in 2049, huh? We're stuck in 2017.
Sad.
All right. I will also daily dap Arian Foster. I saw this hilarious tweet. Somebody at tweeted him, "Yo, Arian Foster, DeSean Jackson, or Christian McCaffrey for my flex in fantasy football." Arian Foster replied with, "Read a book."
Wow. That's amazing.
Which I love. Which I absolutely love. So there you go. Franch, what you got?
I'm going to go full hipster and daps the new LCD Sound System album. It's called American Dream. Came out, I think,
That album's great.
All the way through, it's great. It's classic LCD. They just kind of returned to form. You know, they retired for a few years. They came back live shows last year, and they put a record out in the last couple weeks. It's really good.
Beautiful, beautiful.
I'm also going to daps. I got an advanced copy of the new Foo Fighters record. It's called Concrete and Gold. I believe it comes out tomorrow.
That was hipster.
What, I got an advanced copy. Sources will remain anonymous.
Got an advanced copy.
So, you know, if you want to dance over the weekend, listen to LCD Sound System. You want to rock your face off?
Yeah.
Listen to the Foo Fighters.
I got to listen to the Foo Fighters one today, too, because, I'm on the same inside source list.
I like
franchise.
I like this a lot. Producer Chris, what do you got?
Guys, I'm going to give dabs to football in Los Angeles.
Okay.
We have two games in L.A. on Sunday for the first time in 23 years.
Ooh.
So it's pretty crazy. We have two games in our backyard.
One
at the Coliseum, one at StubHub Center, both at the same time.
The Chargers sell out StubHub Center?
Yes.
Yes.
100% for sure.
They did not in their first preseason game.
Preseason, bro. Preseason doesn't count.
Preseason.
It's a 27,000-seat stadium.
I know. That's why they'll sell out. I mean, they'll sell out StubHub.
The NFL's version of a coffee shop. I remember that was said once on a now – debunked podcast.
The ambiance is really cool. Everybody's on top of the field, so it should be cool.
I think it's going to be great. All right, so there you go. That's your show. Appreciate everybody listening. We'll be back on Monday for the franchise, for Matt Harmon, for the WizKid from Wisconsin, and for producer Chris. I'm James Coe. You've been listening to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. We'll see you. See you later.